I'm going to bet many of you have not started your annual planning or your year-end planning or your budgeting. There's many different names for it, but essentially what it is 2026. All right, 2026. What is your year going to look like in 2026 for your business and personally and financially and for your family? Welcome back to another episode of the Trepreneur Show. Hey, listen, we are in the middle of November. If you haven't started, and hopefully many of you have, but I'm going to bet many of you have not started your annual planning or your year-end planning or your budgeting. There's many different names for it, but essentially what it is 2026. All right, 2026. What is your year going to look like in 2026 for your business and personally and financially and for your family, right? But right now we're going to start this episode. I just want to talk high level about annual planning. And I'm going to do 2 to 3 episodes on what we do. And so I will tell you, I've been doing the annual planning for General Air Conditioning and Plumbing for, 15 years or so. At times I've had like other organizations who have been more of a hand in it, some outsiders. But at the end of the day, it's a big passion of mine. It's a big focus of mine. And I do find when I'm not as involved in it, I don't like it. I like to be in touch with it. But it's about the whole team really coming together and saying, okay, what's our annual plan? What's the goal for 2026, the next year? So this episode, I just want to go over some high-level things to think about if you haven't started. Usually I start in September before bringing the team in. I start looking hard at certain numbers. I start looking at economic things like forecasts, politically what's going on, kind of reading things. A big, big advocate of the Wall Street Journal, just trying to get an idea of what the temperature is going to be like in certain areas. It's like wishing, or it's like forecasting to me is, there's some people that are really good at it, obviously, but it's also like trying to tell you what the weather is. So these guys can have the greatest radar and everything like that, and they still get it wrong. So a lot of your annual planning and your budgeting, there's hard numbers, but a lot of those are coming from assumptions, right? You're modeling. And if this goes right and this goes right, this is what we should be able to do. And a lot of that is based on historical data, all right? A lot of historical data comes into play because in the data are the trends. And if you've been doing it long enough, those trends tend to be similar. Now, this year in the trades, especially on the HVAC space, we've got some unique things. In fact, I just saw Service Titans doing a webinar on it about the repair industry. And basically, those trends of seeing more repairs versus replacements and why. So one of the things we're feeling right now here in the Southern California is we get a lot of what we call snowbirds, right? The people who come from the Midwest and Canada. And it just, we're not having that impact. I do believe we will, but it's a little delayed. And obviously there's a lot of reasons. Just look to the economy as to why that could be. But those are the things we've got to figure out. And I've got to say, okay, what impact will that have in our January, our February, our March, and our April when they're all here? Do I have to adjust numbers for that? Or can I find trends and enough evidence that in the past that's happened, but it's always kind of worked out? And if I think that's going to be an impact, what else do I have to bring to the front as far as solutions to fill that gap? Okay. So first thing, if you're somebody, you're a seasoned veteran and you've been doing this, then you're probably already well into your annual planning. And hopefully there's something here, a nugget or two that I can provide that can be a takeaway. It's kind of like when I read a book. I'll read a book, and if the book isn't that great, I'll still finish the book. One, it's just a discipline for me. Two, I've never read a book where I haven't had at least one takeaway that has helped me, right? So hopefully if you're an old hat at this, I can share something that is a takeaway. If you're newer to it, hopefully I can share a lot with you. And if you haven't gotten started, hopefully I can inspire you to get started. It's in November that I start bringing the team together and start building the plan. Now, I've already got a lot of the groundwork done, as I said, but this is where I bring the team in, and I want the team's input, right? I want to know what they think, what they believe as for a company as a whole, and also for their department. It helps, especially with younger managers, younger leadership. It helps me get an idea of how comfortable they are with this and how much they've been already thinking about it, what their ideas are, and where I might need to spend a little extra time with somebody helping to develop them as a newer manager or a less experienced manager or leader. I say leader because there's more than just managers that come into our budgeting process. There'll be different people in the organization at different points of it. And I look to everybody as a leader. Now, not everybody chooses to lead. That's fine. But I look to people to lead. I look for everybody to be a leader. So I like to refer to them as leaders, okay? And they're all at different stages of that journey. So one of the first things I'm going to do with the team is we're going to do, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this, we're going to do a SWOT analysis. Not special weapons and tactics. That's law enforcement. We're going to do SWOT, SWOT. We're going to look at what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, what our opportunities are, and what our threats are. And this exercise, although pretty common and pretty nothing new, nothing out of the box type thinking, it's a really good way to start annual planning, to get the team engaged, to get them thinking, to expand their thinking. Because what you'll find and what can be an aha moment for some people is the opportunities are also the threats many times. So let me give you an example, real simple example. AI, artificial intelligence. Right. I've done a few episodes on it, a few podcast episodes. It's something I'm really passionate about. I'm not a tech guy, but I'm passionate about it. It fascinates me. Technology fascinates me. I'm one of those guys that I want to buy all the fancy gadgets, but I don't know how to use them and I don't have the patience to learn how to use them, but I dig them. So AI is an opportunity. There's a huge opportunity in AI. On the other side of it, there's a huge threat. AI is a huge threat to your business. Well, what do you mean? How is it a threat, Badger? How's it going to be a threat? Well, in the most simplest terms, is it's going to change the game. It's going to change the way you market. It's going to change the way you communicate. It's going to change the way your customers communicate with you and how they find you. And if you don't adapt to that, right, that opportunity, that becomes a threat. You get left behind. Here's another way AI is a threat. You have a workforce that doesn't adapt to it, doesn't get it, doesn't want to use it, and you have to evolve. That can be a threat. So it could be just simple things, a cultural thing, right? So we're going to go through that, and we're going to look at us as a company. And a lot of times the threats are the competition. Everybody starts writing down the name of our competitors. Yeah, they're a threat, but they're always a threat. What we're looking for, we're not looking for the snake in the grass. We're looking for the tiger that's stalking us that we don't know is there. Think about it. You're walking through the jungle, you're going to be looking down. You're going to be wearing boots that come up high that are leather that a snake can't bite through, and you're going to be watching where you step. And you're going to get so focused looking for that snake in the grass, you're not going to pay attention to that Bengal tiger that's been stalking you for the last mile. And he's just waiting for the right opportunity. So the SWOT exercise, a great exercise to do with your team. If you've never done it, highly encourage you to do it. You will learn a lot. And what's really important in that process is there's no right or wrong. You're going to hear crazy stuff. You're going to be like, oh, that's not a threat, or that's not a strength, or that. Really, right now, your job is not to qualify, the answers. This is a brainstorm session, and everybody is going to come up with different things. And so what you have to realize is something that somebody says is a strength, you may not think is a strength, but you're not looking at it the way they're looking at it. Let them speak. Write their input down. Let them have a voice. Don't shut them down. Now, you can have challenging dialogue, right? By that, if somebody says, oh, I think one of our strengths is where our business name begins with an A, so we're easy to find in the phone book. All right. Well, you're going to be like, well, okay. But I don't know how many people go to the phone book these days. They still do. But you're not going to tell that person, like, ah, you know what? We don't even advertise in the phone book. That's not a concern to us. You need to be able to go to that person and say, okay, that's interesting. Tell me why. Because when you say and you ask the question, tell me why, one, you're validating their input. You're validating them and their contribution. And now they're going to have to tell you why. And they may come to their own conclusion that that's not really what they think it is. Then they'll disqualify it themselves. Or they'll present an argument that you're like, wow, okay, that's legitimate. I wasn't thinking that way. Fantastic, right? But don't shut them down. Ask, tell me why. And because you want them to contribute. If you shut somebody down, especially somebody who's hasn't done this, is new to this, and they're speaking up, don't dismiss their input. Put everything down. Then you can go through and you can say, okay, what are our priorities? What are the top things we should focus on? Okay, yes, that is a strength, that is a weakness, whatever. But is it in our top 10? No, it's not. Okay. So can we leave that one off? And I always ask the team, is it okay if we leave that one off? And if they say no, we need to have that on there, keep it on there. Okay. The other thing, exercise I do, I usually do in the same session, is I have everybody write down on a piece of paper, and I learned this from one of my mentors, just start writing out everything you can do that would drive revenue and profitability of the business, or revenue or profitability of the business, right? Just start writing it down, brainstorm, and you let them go. Like, guys, nothing is crazy. If you say buying Tesla robots as soon as they're available, write it down. Just brainstorm. You let that go on for about 15 minutes. Now, nobody's sharing anything. They're just doing this on their own. Now you're going to ask them, now I want you to go through and I want you to pick the top 20 things on your list. Circle them. Circle the top of all the things you wrote on your list. Maybe you have 20 things. If you have 20, then think harder. If you've got 50, 30, whatever, circle the top 20. If you only got 20, that's all somebody came up with. They don't have to go create more. But hopefully people are just brainstorming with this, right? It's one thing that I think we all struggle with is truly brainstorming. We judge our thoughts. And that's why meditation is so important, because you look, or I shouldn't say you look, I guess you do look, you feel, you experience thoughts and you don't judge them. And we're so quick to judge our thoughts as to whether that's valid or not, whether I'm going to write that down or not, or share it or not. And a brainstorm, just write it down. But there is nothing that's too ridiculous in the initial brainstorm. Now, as we get down the road, be like, okay, that's crazy. But now, after they do that, and you do it too, you should be doing this as well, and hopefully you've already done it, but do it as well. Have them circle the top 12 things, or put an X next to the top 12 things that will drive revenue and profitability, or revenue or profitability, right? Because there are some things that can drive both together. There's some that's only going to really drive one, and you hope that the other follows, but there's things you can do to drive profitability that aren't going to drive revenue. So now that they have that, ask them to share them. Have a discussion around it. They just made a list of their number one priority for the next 12 months. Now what they do is, what are you going to do? Write January on one. Write February in the order of the greatest impact. So let's say your HVAC service manager, one of the things they write is, all techs present four options on every call, right? That's January. Now, obviously, there's a lot to do in January, but that's the number one focus that they need to get accomplished that can drive the impact of the business, okay? Now, please understand, there's so many other things you can do, yes. But at the end of the day, you're going to do those other things, but that should be, in this example, the priority, the top overarching item, and everything else kind of trickles down from that, kind of builds off of that, okay? And each department now has their roadmap for 12 months. Now, is that written in stone? No, but it gets some thinking for the further process, okay? Now, if done correctly, those two exercises can take up a good amount of time. More importantly, a good amount of energy. Right, you're going to expend some energy thinking on that, but it gets people thinking, it gets them creative. All right, now I have other sessions. I don't even start talking revenue. I don't even start talking, what do you think the budget should be? Where are we going to finish? What do you think we can do next year? And that conversation, well, I arrive at those numbers based on historical data, some voodoo magic, and some, you know, forecasting. The number that I have, I don't want revealed. I want the team to start sharing what they think our number should be, our revenue number. And then if we're content with our profitability, okay, great. And we're never really content with our profitability. If you're content with your profitability and you could push another 1% out or 0.5%, then you do it. What I mean by that is profitability's, we're good with it. We're going to try and drive profitability even more, but we can push the top number, because if your profitability is not where it needs to be, and you're trying to push the top number, you're just going to hurt profitability. And you got to figure out why your profitability is not where it's at and work to get it there, right? What do we have to do there? So that's my approach. Now, I am not a guru. I am not a finance guy. I am a technician who happens to be called president and CEO and has been running a business for some time. And it's gone through this process. And I just know that there's no point in driving revenue, top line growth, if your profitability is not fixed. Fix the profitability, keep the top line growth where it is, even reduce it if need be, as painful as that is to say. And here, the drive profitability. Now, if your profitability, you're like, hey, that's really good, we're happy there. Now focus on driving that with that revenue. And then how do we incrementally increase profitability? You can do both, but if the profitability is really messed up, then you can't do both, okay? But start to hear numbers. Now, what I will tell you is based on experience, based on insight, knowledge, and totally how much your open book, how much you share finances, and how experienced, really, the managers and leaders are, is how realistic their numbers are going to be. Sometimes people come out and they think that this growth, that you're going to have 40% growth next year. Do businesses have that? Yes. Is it realistic? Most likely not. My point in this is that when everybody else is pushing for, oh, we're going to have 20%, which, you know, is a healthy number to shoot for. And somebody else is like, double that. Okay, why? Tell me why. Tell me why you think that. They may have insights, right? They may just be throwing a number out because they like a big number, right? And they get excited about it. So start to have that question, all right? Now, when you do this, and when you do start talking about the number, and the number, they should help build that number. You know, you kind of know, basically, everybody knows, should know kind of where the target is, right? You're going to know when they jump out of the plane, right? Hey, we're going to jump over this landmark, but you know when they actually leave the plane, all right? That's the number. You're kind of going to get them into that range. You're going to work there as a team. But then you actually are going to kind of know the number that it needs to be. Now, if the number gets swayed because of the group working together, and that somebody can convince you that we can hit this number because of this, or we can't hit the number because of this, then you adjust it. The important thing is you have to control the business, the growth, and where you're going and what you're doing. You know, the team has to believe and buy in. And so just handing somebody the numbers is not going to accomplish that. So that's the whole concept here is get the buy-in, help people walk to the understanding of what the goal is and where they're going and what they're doing, okay? Right now, if you haven't started annual planning, you should be meeting probably no less than once a week, probably twice a week. And now, keep in mind, when you meet to review annual planning, you don't have to have the same people present at every meeting, all right? And there might just be meetings with the HVAC, and then the plumbing, all electrical, roofing, or whatever business units you have. And then there's going to be ones that you have everybody present. So just keep that in mind that while you're probably going to be present at just about every one. I say probably because you may send the team off to do a project and come back to you with some suggestions. Because this is a perfect time to not just build the plan for your company, but this is the perfect time to mentor your young leaders in the organization and help them understand the whys, the whats, the hows, and how comes behind everything. So at the end of the day, it's a heavy lift, but it can be a fun heavy lift. And I tell you, I talk to a lot of companies through the years that do not do any real type of budgeting. Or if they do, they do just the revenue goals. They don't get into the costs, the expenses, and budget to that level. You got to get it all in there. Now, if it's your first year ever doing a budget, it's you know, you're going to have to work into it. And you might want to call on the help of a CPA or, you know, somebody that knows finance really well. Another business owner would be ideal that would be willing to help you, mentor you. And here's a plug again. Some of the trade groups out there, some of the best practice groups, CertainPath, NextStar, Tommy Mello's Home Service Freedom, a blue collar success group. There's a lot out there. If you're listening to this and I didn't mention you, forgive me. There's just a lot out there. You can Google them. You can search them. Go to trade shows. One that's really good that we're also members of is, I'm going to draw a blank. I met Weldon Long through that group. I'm going to put it in the show notes. I'm going to put more of the groups in the show notes So you have a list and a resource to them. I belong to several of them. There's some that I'm much more involved in than others, as I shared on other episodes. But they all have some sort of help, guidance, or coaching to help you with this type of thing. Because if you've never done it, it's going to be challenging, right? It's going to be challenging, but that's okay. You can learn too. Now, if you've done it, you've evolved probably into your own process and doing your own thing. But step one is really get the team thinking. Get the team aligned, get them working together, get them trusting each other, get them coming up with ideas of understanding the whole what, how, why, and everything behind the scenes that's required, all right? So that's all I'm going to cover today. If you have not started the process, or you have started the process and haven't done anything like that, I encourage you to do that. The next episode, I'm going to discuss some of the further nuances of the nitty-gritty, some of the steps we do beyond that, and then how we start putting it together. Again, this will probably end up being 3 episodes in all. I will have some handouts that I'll upload, some templates I use and have used over the years, things that have worked really well for me. Be more than happy to share them with you on the website at thetrepreneurshow.com. Just give me some time to get them up there. If you got something out of this, I'm glad. I'm thrilled. Love to hear your feedback. Either way, thank you for supporting the show, The Trepreneur Show. Thank you for tuning in. That is just doing a listen and a rating helps tremendously. You know, I could be doing other things. I don't want to do other things. I want to do this because this is fun and it's a way of giving back. And I will tell you, I went to some trade shows and some events and people came up to me that had listened to the show and I met some really great people and I got some really great feedback. So that's always really good. Keeps you going. But anyways, again, thank you very much for listening to the Trepreneur Show. Thank you for the support. I'm your host, Patrick Summers, also president and CEO of General Air Conditioning and Plumbing. So I am in the trenches every day doing this. So I'm speaking from experience and I'm speaking from points of failure as well as success. And I hope that you can learn as well. So until next time, to the next episode of the Trepreneur Show, be great and get your numbers right.